Good morning.
Sorry about that. A little bit discombobulated this morning. It's good to be here. Good to be in God's house. Do you feel that way? Good to be in God's house? Or was it one of those mornings where, Mom, or honey, do we have to go to church? And Natalie says, yes, get dressed. Yeah, it doesn't always feel that way for us. And yet, for our Savior, he says, didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? Or another way, because the word house is not actually in there in Greek. It's trying to render this the best way possible, but it's a phrase that's not exactly an English phrase. It's just, didn't you know that I have to be about the things of my Father? I have to be involved in the things of my Father. That's not always our experience. I want to share a miracle with you this morning. I don't know if you've ever noticed this about me. I have 10 fingers. You too. I'm amazed. Guys who use table saws and I started when I was a little kid. In fact, when I was 9 years old, it didn't start there. I graduated to this because I'd already had a pocket knife for a couple of years. But when I was 9 years old, my brother Dan and I built a boat. And we built it out of, I don't know, like a 6x6 post. It was a big, heavy board. Maybe it was only 4x4, but we were little. It seemed bigger. And we made it with one of these. Now, of course, my mother was not totally irresponsible. My brother Dan was only 8, and so I suspect probably I was the only one to handle the real tool, because I was 9, and we whacked at this board, and we carved it down into the shape of a boat. My mother would be arrested for us doing that now. But we carved the hull, and then we carved out some of the inside, and we drilled holes in it. And we stepped masts out of dowel rods, and we made rigging out of this soft black wire that my dad had somewhere in the basement, and it was really cool. We were always building things. We would go in the woods and we would cut things down and tie them together and climb on them, though they weren't really safe. We were always building things, and in our house, that was expected because, well, you're a chip off the old block, right? In our house, it was expected that you use tools because Dad did, and Mom did, and we were following in their footsteps. And in fact, when you did that, except when we left Dad's tools laying out in the grass to rust, otherwise, he was thrilled to see us doing this. It was really neat to see us taking up the same family things. My cousins, it was different stuff. My cousins, they drove cars and tractor. They maybe drove a tractor by the time they were 8 or 10. We didn't have tractors and didn't have a farm to drive a car around on and not hit anything. But what was it in your family? What did you do? Did anybody ever say, oh, look at that, he's doing just like Dad, or she's just like Mom? You can see that interest, and there's the excitement when they carry on the family thing. Jesus was 12. You got to remember, it was 12 years since all the miracles, 12 years since shepherds and angels singing in the night and all that sort of thing. It was 12 years of diapers, 12 years then of toddlerhood, 12 years of introducing foods, 12 years of talking, 12 years of growing, 12 years of playing, 12 years of learning things, 12 years of taking part in the family things, 12 years of just being a regular person, 12 years of seeing Jesus fit in the family and so show ways in which he was so much like Joseph. He's helping out here. He's helping out there. He comes. His father presents him at the synagogue as a son of the covenant. He is bar mitzvah. And he takes on the obligations, like his father before him, of a son of the covenant, that he must go every year to the temple, at least once at the Passover, if not more often than that, to offer sacrifices and to carry the burden of the covenant, the burden of the law. What pride, what joy they would feel as they watch Jesus grow up like that. And now he says, after this shock and alarm, he's gone. We don't know where he's at. They search all over the place and they find him in the last place they expected to find him. In a theological school. In the seminary taking place in the halls of the temple. And he says to them, "Didn't you know I had to be about the business of my father?" What do you mean, the business of your father? The business of your father, the business of your father is the work that's waiting for you at home. The business of your father is our family business. Your father's house is our house. Are you saying you're rejecting the family? The family stuff? That's hard. It's hard when we turn away from family. Is there an expectation for you? Your parents all excited? Oh, it's a boy! He's going to go to the University of Michigan. And he's going to play ball. And he's going to do whatever dad did, only better, right? What if you told your mom, "I'm not going to go to college"? What do you mean you're not going to go to college? Of course you're going to go to college. You're not going to waste your mind. No, I have a different path I'm going to follow. Jesus says, "Didn't you know I had to be about the things of my Father?" And although they know, although they understood, although they heard that 12 years earlier, it's real. And now it's harder to take, because this is a really unknown path. This is unbroken ground. This is a trail nobody's walked before. This is something they don't really understand. You maybe noticed, I'm not a builder. Although my brother and I were always building, and there was every intention on my family's part, on my part, I was absolutely going to be running my dad's business. And when there was that fork in the road and I went away from that, my parents were okay with that, but it was all new. And they were afraid of what it would mean. I've told you before, my mom, when a missionary was coming to speak at the seminary and recruit there, and the Sunday before he spoke at my parents' church, my mom shook hands with him at the door and told him, "Don't talk to my son." You know, willing for your son to be about the Lord's business, but not that business, or not that far away, or not if the path leads there. We feel pressure. Pressure to do what our family did before. Now you have freedom to do many different things. But Jesus had no choice. Nowadays, you don't have to be, you don't have to work for Ford because your parents worked for Ford. Nowadays, you don't have to go to college because your parents went to college. Nowadays, you don't have to be what your mom or dad was. But Jesus had to go where he was going. This was a plan that was made at the beginning of time. This was a plan that he had to fulfill, a path that he had to walk. And he says, didn't you know that I must? Not that I long to or anything like that. I'm sure that was the case. But didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? I must be about the work of my Father. Didn't in Luke chapter 4, I must preach the good news. I cannot not preach the good news. I must preach the good news. In Luke 9, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Luke 13, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the next day, for it can't be that a prophet can be killed away from Jerusalem. Luke 17, but first the Savior must suffer many things and be rejected. Luke 22, the scripture must be fulfilled that he was numbered with the transgressors. Luke 24, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. From the time of his birth, although his parents had this plan and that plan and they had many dreams, from the time of his birth, Jesus had to walk directly in everything in his life towards the cross. It was the business of his Father to redeem the world. That was the Father's business, to redeem the world. There's another must in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 12. You also, says, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect him. It doesn't say that you must do what Jesus did. You're not required to go to the cross and give your life for humanity. But rather, we come from the cross. Jesus walked directly to the cross. We come from the cross, from the grace of God, from the forgiveness and eternal life he's given to us. And we also must be about the business of our Father. Now, I wrestled with that thing about becoming a pastor because I didn't know what it was like, had I only known. My dad was not a pastor. I didn't grow up with this stuff. I didn't know what I married a pastor's wife so that I could figure out what goes on in the parsonage. You wouldn't believe what. But I realized somewhere along the line that my Father's business was not tool and die. My Father's business was not making things out of steel. That was how he made a living. My Father's business was changing people eternally. My mother's business was not cleaning up after us. My mother's business was not cooking all our meals and feeding us. My mother's business was changing us eternally. I go back to my father's business, and there are on the wall, my brother Dan runs it. He graduated to being able to use tools. On the walls are all these stampings from the various dyes that I helped my dad make, some of them. And parts, you know, that were produced over the years, and they're all rusting, of course. But the men who have worked there, the people who have worked there, who have been changed by their association with a follower of Jesus Christ who shared his faith with them, who labored to provide a place where they could provide for their families, who cared for them, and was an example to them of faith. And my mom, you know, she made all those meals and cleaned up And then promptly had to make another meal and clean up and wash laundry. And then pretty soon it's all back in there again. It was like an endless task. But the things that my mom did last forever and ever and ever. Because her real business was not only her seven children who are in faith in the Lord, but the influence she had on the lives of her grandchildren, the influence she had on the lives of her siblings, and the influence she had on the lives of neighbors and friends and members of the congregation, others around her. She led them in faith. You can be anything you want. You can be an astronaut. You can be President of the United States, as we say. You can go to college or not go to college. You can be a realtor or a builder or an artist. But you are called to work with the Father's things. You are called to work with eternal things. Amen. Now may the